Thank you. Well, how are we all this morning? It's great to be here this morning, isn't it, worshipping the Lord? What better thing could you do on a Sunday morning and every morning? We serve an amazing God. He is strong and mighty and awesome and powerful, yet he's also gentle and loving, compassionate and faithful. He's the perfect father and he loves his kids very much. And you know what? I guess he's going to be the only perfect father we ever have because our fathers are human. And most of us humans have a little bit of emotional baggage and we make mistakes. So as far as parenthood is concerned, most of us are flying by the seat of our pants and we're learning as we go. But for all the mistakes that all our parents make, I venture to say that the vast majority of you have parents who love you to bits. My dad loved his family very much, and he worked like a Trojan all his life to provide for us. But my dad was a very sad and angry man. My experience of my dad was of a man who was constantly fighting and overcoming some sort of terrible affliction. My dad survived electric shock treatment as well as a lobotomy operation. That's where they drill holes in the front of your skull into your brain to cure depression. My dad was actually one of the few people who came out of that procedure reasonably intact because they don't do it anymore. People used to ask him about those two depressions in the front of his skull and he used to say, "Ah, that's where I had my horns removed." So he had a bit of a sense of humour. He had half his stomach removed because of ulcers, and he also endured triple bypass operation, as well as many other medical procedures and medicines and things. There always seemed to be something. I remember as a kid going to a picnic at Araluen with my family and hearing someone calling out across the park, "Happy! Happy!" It turned out it was my dad's cousin, whom he hadn't seen for years. We'd never met her. She was calling my dad Happy. That used to be his nickname as a kid and a young man. My brothers and I couldn't believe it. But stuff happened through the war years that changed my dad's natural inclination to be happy. And I think he spent the rest of his life trying to rediscover that part of himself. And can I tell you, he tried to do that in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways. But he never gave up trying. And 6 months or so before my dad passed away, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord. Every now and then we would talk about Jesus, and just before he died, he called me into him, and his last words to me were marvellous. Everything is marvellous. My dad knew where he was going, and he died a happy man. Took him all his life, but he never gave up trying to be happy. And he finally discovered the way was through Jesus. Isn't that an awesome story? That's a real happily ever after ending, isn't it? Because he's in eternity now, and he's happy, and he will be from now on. If my dad taught us anything in life, my brothers and I would say all the same thing. He taught us never give up. That's what we all remember from my dad. Never give up. Heavenly Father, allow your spirit to speak through me this morning. Open our eyes and ears to hear what you have to say. In your precious name, amen. Would you like to open your Bibles to Ephesians 6:10? The New King James Version reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Who knows that all scripture is given by God's inspiration? So every word of the Bible is important. Even the first word in that scripture, finally. What Paul is saying here is even after all that you've just read in this letter, and believe me, the letter to the Ephesians is jammed with profound truth, isn't it? It is. You've just read that out this morning, Daniel. I know we do. Ephesians is jammed with profound and delicious doctrine and truth. Nevertheless, pay attention to what I'm about to say. The Church of Ephesus was founded by Paul, and later on Timothy came and pastored in that church. This was a church based on very sound doctrine and teaching. The Apostle John was a member of this church, and so was Mary, the mother of Jesus, whom John cared for until her death. How'd you like to be a member of that church? Wonderful, word-based church, rubbing shoulders with Paul and Timothy and John and Mary and all the others. Except this is a great church too, isn't it? Well, I'd rather be in this church. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, many of these people were not living victorious and overcoming lives. Some of their personal lives are actually quite falling apart. Because Ephesians 4 tells us that some of them were liars, some of them were angry, some gave place to the devil, some of them stole, some of them had no control over their mouths, we wouldn't know about that one, and some of them had bad attitudes, things like bitterness, rage, anger, slander, malice. It even says some brawled. Now, I've never seen a brawl in this church, but some of them brawled. So with the word finally, Paul is saying, everything I've said so far is really important, but if nothing else, please pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. And then these people with bad attitudes and failings, he says, my brethren, how would you like to be considered a brother to the Apostle Paul? He's putting himself on the same level as his readers. He's identifying with their personal struggles and their victories. And the word for brother is adelphos, and it literally means two people who were born from the same womb. But at the time when Paul was writing, it also had another deeper militaristic meaning. Alexander the Great was probably the greatest military leader the world has known. By the age of 33, he had conquered nearly the entire civilized world of his day, from Europe to the northern end of Africa, reaching over to Greece, Turkey, and Asia, and all the way to the western border of India. In one battle against the Persians, Alexander overcame a 40,000 strong army with the loss of only 110 men. Alexander was so respected and revered by his soldiers all over his empire that to know him personally and to earn his recognition became the highest honour a military man could receive. Therefore, on special occasions, Alexander would host great ceremonies and he'd call especially brave and hard-working soldiers up on the platform by his side. He'd then place his arm around each individual and publicly declare, "Let all the empire know that Alexander is proud to be the brother of this soldier." This is a picture of two soldiers fighting together. They share the same feelings, fears, desires, just as brothers from the same womb do. But these soldiers overcame their emotions to gain victory in the midst of difficult attacks and confrontations. These brothers were true comrades in arms. They supported and relied on each other to get through the battle. They were united, and they achieved a bond that only soldiers know. And this is the message that Paul was imparting to the Ephesians. And this is the message that he's imparting to you. Look around. Look around you. Who do you see? You're looking at brothers and sisters in Christ. People with personal struggles, people with emotions and feelings just like you, but people who have refused to quit despite their failures and their fears, people who haven't given up on the fight of faith, people who are still struggling and slugging it out and plodding along one step at a time. No matter how well or badly they are doing, they're still fighting. These people are worthy to be called your brothers and your sisters. The enemy might try to tell you that you're a spiritual failure because you haven't achieved victory in life yet. But don't listen to him, because if you remain in the fight, you are an exceptional soldier. Paul says so. What really counts is that we keep on fighting. Never give up. That's the attitude of a winner. That's the attitude that will produce victory in your life. And I guess, you know, many of us get tired through constant battles. And when you walk the Christian walk, there's lots of battles, lots of things that come our way. And in our own strength, we can't keep going sometimes. But do you know what? God does not expect you to go on in your own strength. He commands us to be strong in the Lord. Look, I'm not a very strong person. Sometimes I can't get the top off the jam jar. I have to take that jam jar to John or to James and let someone stronger take it off for me. I have to rely on their strength to achieve that task. God knows that we're not strong enough for the fight, yet he tells us, actually, he commands us to be strong. Does that make sense? Well, it does when you look at the word strong. In the Greek, that word is endunamu, and it's made up from the words en, which means in or into, and dunamis, which means explosive strength or power. In other words, it conveys the meaning of a power that is being deposited into some kind of vessel. And that's exciting, because God has designed you to be just that vessel. So Paul is telling you, receive a supernatural strengthening, an internal deposit of power in your inner man. And because it's a command, he means receive it now. Open up your hearts and receive a touch of God's power in your lives today. Do you know the story of Hercules? You know Hercules, the big Greek mythical character? He was supposedly handpicked by the gods and given endunamu strength to empower him to perform many extra special superhuman feats. Well, you've been handpicked by God, and he wants to release the full force of his power into you so that you can become a spiritual giant. Do you want to be a spiritual giant? Then be empowered. Receive his inner strengthening. Be infused with God's supernatural strength and ability. Where is this endunamu power? It's in the Lord. The verse says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The only way you can receive this power is to be in the right place, and the right place is in the Lord. If you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, then you have positioned yourself correctly. If you're not in the right position, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, if you're not born again, then you don't have any access to the strengthening power of his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, Paul tells his readers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Colossians 1:11, Paul prays, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you have great endurance and patience. If you want to run the Christian race to the finish line, if you want to endure to the end, if you want to be someone who never gives up despite the setbacks and the obstacles, if you want to live victoriously, then, my friends, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The endunamo power that you receive will strengthen your inner man so that you are able to withstand and oppose any kind of force. It's an inner strength. But Paul also says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And this power, or in the Greek it's called kratos or kratos, is a demonstrated, eruptive and tangible power. It's the strongest flow of power that exists in the universe. The kratos power is so overwhelming, conquering and irresistible that it permeated every cell of Jesus' dead body with divine life. It was impossible for death to hold him. This is the same power that Paul says is available to you and to me. But this power isn't idle. It's the kind that you can see and experience. When you receive this power, it immediately seeks an avenue of release so that it can demonstrate itself. You can't receive this power and do nothing with it. This power comes to enable us to do supernatural, superhuman tasks. And the reason it's so powerful is that it's backed up by God's muscles, his might, all that God is, all the power he possesses, all the energy of his muscular, mighty ability energizes that kratos power that is at work in believers who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul commands us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit to run the Christian race to the end, to withstand the attacks of the enemy and not to give up. And we need the explosive ability of the Holy Spirit to serve and to demonstrate the kingdom of God to an unbelieving world, to accomplish the tasks that God has in store for us. Just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he commissioned his disciples. In Mark 16, verses 15 to 18, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." And that's our commission too. It's a big task. But Jesus also said to his disciples, "Don't go anywhere until you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You are going to need this." In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, you know, these people had lived with Jesus, walked with him, been taught by him, served with him for 3 years. They needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, to continue with the Great Commission. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was commanded to wait for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So don't you think we need it too? And on that day of Pentecost, suddenly a sound like a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house while they were waiting. Tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now at that day, these other tongues were the languages of all the different Jews from all over the world who had travelled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And they heard the sound of the violent wind, and they went to investigate, and they heard these lowly Galileans speaking in the many and varied languages of these international Jews. And they were absolutely amazed. How is it possible? It was the power of the Spirit. And by the way, Galileans were considered pretty low on the social scale, uneducated and a little bit backward. And the good news for you and me is that it means that whoever you are, God can use you. But the key to usefulness is the fullness of the Spirit. Are you willing to be filled with the Spirit? You see, the Spirit can bring life to anything He chooses, provided you are willing to be enlivened. Most of the onlookers were amazed, but there's always knockers in every group. And some of them heckled them. They said, "Oh, you were drunk on wine." But that was all the opening that Peter needed to stand up and explain what was going on. Peter preached his first sermon. This same Peter, who fearfully denied Jesus three times, now stood boldly before the crowd. He explained the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He preached the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the deity of Jesus, and he made it very clear that they killed the Son of God, and he called for repentance to receive forgiveness. And, you know, this was not a politically correct soft-serve speech. This was a hard-hitting sermon empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and 3,000 people repented and were baptized. You know, later, when Peter and John healed the lame beggar at the temple gate, beautiful, the worshippers again, they were amazed. And Peter again, he grasped this opportunity to preach the death and resurrection of Christ and to call people to repentance. And again, thousands believed and were saved. And then Peter and John were arrested by the temple guard and brought before the rulers and elders the next day. And as they were being questioned, he said, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he began to preach again. He said, in Acts 4, verse 10 to 12, he said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that man," meaning the recently healed beggar, "stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Hallelujah. Peter, who denied Jesus three times before the crucifixion, had now three times stood up and very publicly and boldly proclaimed the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and called for repentance. And it was as though he couldn't stop himself. This once fearful man had been transformed into a spiritual giant. That Kratos power within him needed to be released. And every opportunity was taken to preach the gospel message. And it wasn't watered down. It was hard-hitting and it was empowered by the Spirit and it was very effective. Peter and John were eventually released, but they were ordered, you know, not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But they just went back to their own people and had a prayer meeting. And they prayed in Acts 4, 29 to 30, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, you know, weren't they bold before? How bold do you think they must be after that prayer and being filled again with the Holy Spirit? They are unstoppable. Church, I want to be like them. Do you want to be like them? We need that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to enable and equip us for the Great Commission. We need to be filled and filled again. We need to, just as we were, to be emboldened, to be strengthened, to be gifted and equipped for service for the kingdom. I want so much Holy Spirit in me that I can't hold it in. Is that what you want? I want that. I want to be able to preach that gospel wherever I go, in the shopping centre, in my family, that's the hardest, wherever. I just want it to come out because I can't hold it in. You know, it is so easy to receive the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, you just ask. God knows that it can't be too hard. We won't do it. He's made it quite easy for us. The only requirement to receive his baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be a born-again believer. So I just want to start at that point. Maybe we could all just bow our heads and close our eyes for a minute. And I just want to give this opportunity. If there is nobody, if there is somebody here that isn't positioned in Christ, if there's anyone here who's not made Jesus Lord of their life and would like to do so now, why don't you raise your hand and I would love to pray for you. Maybe there's someone here that's just been travelling with us, but they haven't quite made that decision. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a long time. Maybe you've been coasting along. Let's make that final step. Today is a great day for salvation. Is there anybody here that hasn't made Jesus Lord of their life and would like to do so now? Because I'd love to pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join the family of Christ and position themselves correctly? Okay. Why don't we all pray this prayer together? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from running my own life and now I ask you to run it. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap now, shall we? God bless you. God bless you. You know, being positioned in Christ, as I said, is the only requirement for you to receive the Holy Spirit. To receive that endunamu power, to strengthen your inner man, and to receive that kratos power, that outwardly demonstrated ability which works in you as a result of God's great muscular ability. Jesus made it very clear that his church needs to be empowered by his Holy Spirit to endure to the end, to never give up, and to demonstrate the kingdom of God effectively and with power. So if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never had that, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, well, today I'm going to put a call out. I want you to come forward. I want anyone who's never been filled with the Holy Spirit and wants to be filled to come forward to the altar. And I also want anyone who wants to be refilled with the Spirit to come forward too. And let's join together corporately and call out to God and ask for his Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us all, to invigorate us, to energize us, to refuel us and refresh us. Would you like to come forward if you want that spirit? Come on. Come on down. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Let's do this together corporately. We need the empowerment. We need to be refilled for service for the kingdom, for service. We want to demonstrate his power to the world. We want that zeal to come upon us, don't we? So, Father God, let's pray together. And, Lord, I just ask now, Father God, that for those that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, that are calling out to you now, that have come forward now, let your Spirit fall upon them, Lord. Fill them, Lord God. Refuel them, Lord God. Re-energize them, Lord God. Fill them to the fullness with your Holy Spirit, your glory, Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, and we ask, Father God, for your Spirit, Lord, to fall upon this church. Lord, we desire your strength. Lord, we desire your spiritual gifts. Lord, equip us for service, strengthen us for the journey, and revive our spirits, Lord. You know, if you have the gift of tongues, why don't we pray now with tongues? Let's cry out to our Lord. Empower us, Lord, to speak. Empower us, Lord. Embolden us, Lord, with your authority and with your power. Lord, we desire your spiritual gifts. Lord, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, Lord, the gift of tongues. Lord, the gift of knowledge. Lord, the gift of wisdom and the gift of healing. The gift of miracles, Lord. The discerning of spirits, Lord. Lord, let your Spirit fall upon these people now. Let your Spirit fall, Lord. Let your Spirit fall afresh upon your church so we can preach the good news wherever we go, so we can demonstrate your kingdom through action, so we will endure to the end, so we will lay hands on the sick and we'll see them recover, so we can deliver people, Lord God, from the hands of the enemy through the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
The Lord would speak to your hearts this day, and he would say to you very clearly that he is not holding back. The Lord your God is not holding back his Holy Spirit from you. In fact, the Lord is looking for vessels that he can fill full to overflow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your word says if you would give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you? The Lord longs to fill you with his Spirit. The Lord longs to give you the strength you need for the journey. Accept it, open your heart, and receive everything that the Lord has for you. He wants to fill you. He loves you. Accept everything. Open up your hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful atmosphere. Our God is so good. I pray that our fellowship will be just as sweet, that we will see Jesus in each other, and we will love each other, and we will just be there for one another in Jesus' name. Amen.